2 days, a day and a half of getting Bibles assembled, we actually have made a tremendous amount of progress, and it's due really. I'd like to give you all credit, but I'm going to give God credit because it's, yeah, praise the Lord, amen. Now he worked through you, of course, every one of you that are here, if you haven't been here until tonight, but that's okay. We have plenty of work for you to do, but I just like to see God work, and I know every one of you like to see God work, and you like to know that God trusts you to handle his word, and I feel very strongly about that part of it, just the idea that God would consider us, you know, we were nothing but unworthy vessels, right? Earthen vessels who did not deserve anything, didn't deserve his grace, his mercy, we didn't deserve his life. Yet then he decided, you know, for some crazy reason, he says, I'm going to save you, then I'm going to give you my word, and I'm going to trust you to handle it and to deliver it to the people that need to get it. And so that ought to keep us humble, just thinking about that very thing. And it's an incredible thing to think about as we work day and night to get these Bibles assembled. And so just real quick, we have made a tremendous amount of progress. I mean, we are well farther along tonight than we usually have been in any of the conferences that we've done so far. And you see all of these boxes up here. This is what it would look like on Wednesday sometimes, this number of boxes. But let me just kind of give you a kind of a running total. We've got several different Bible projects all lumped into one, but we were working on Spanish yesterday. And so pretty much over here on your left in front of me, on my right, are all the Spanish Bibles. We did two different Spanish covers. There's, where's the count? 1,566 Spanish Bibles all together in the box. And 1,400 of them are going to go to Joe Hendricksman. If you were part of the Bible, or part of our conference during in April for Vision Conference, if you were here, Joe was our main speaker. Him and his wife Amy are missionaries in Oaxaca. And so more 1,400 of those are going to him. The remainder are going to go to Jackson County Detention Center. And then over here, we were working on the New Testaments. We started those. We got that done fast, really, in just Sunday. So these boxes over here, these are all the New Testaments. There's, 3,826 New Testaments there. So we've done quite a few in those two. And then there's four boxes over here all the way on the end. These are a special set of Bibles, and we're still working on those. But right now there's 200 Bibles in those boxes. Or, well, there's 150 or so, and then we got another 300 or a couple hundred that need to be trimmed. But we had the opportunity the last couple of years to deliver Bibles to disabled American veterans at a fishing tournament down at Truman Lake. And Safe Harbor Baptist Church, which is Terry Ogle's church, his team of people last year, they handwrote personal notes to every veteran. We put those as an insert into the covers or in with the cover and glued them in, and delivered them to those disabled veterans at the tournament, which is next month in October. And so they invited us back, and they said, "Hey, come back and give us more Bibles." And so that's what those are. There'll be 500 of them all together. And if you don't know what the cover looks like, we decided this year because we got so many different covers, so you can see what the covers look like for each one of them. And then behind me is the beginnings of the Bibles going to Jamaica. And we're going to send 1,000 Bibles to Jamaica. Even though Bob Weston has gone home to be with the Lord, his ministry still is in need of Bibles every year. And so we're going to continue to send Bibles to Jamaica as long as they need them. And so that's the 1,000 Bibles. They'll be stacked up back here. In fact, and actually by the end of this week, we're going to have Bibles all over this platform, because we've got Bibles going in different directions all the time. We have, I think we probably have at least 5 more covers that we haven't even touched yet of Bibles that are going to be used for different purposes all around the country. So there's 2 different languages. They're going to 3 different countries, and there's going to be a total of 9,300 when we're done. Right now we have 5,541 in the box. And we're 55%, and we were making incredible progress. It's all due to you, but I want to really implore you to stay tonight at least for an hour after the service and help us get some stuff off the tables in the collating, get some more rolled, get some more checked. We got plenty of work that needs to be done in the binder rooms. All the machines are running top-notch. It's incredible. Last year, we were fighting the machines all the time. This year, they are running as smooth as silk. And the Bibles are looking great. So thanks for all your work. Thanks for your prayers. Just continue to do that. I just want to remind everybody real quick. I know Brian will probably say it again, but I'm going to say it too. On Wednesday night, we will be taking up a special offering to help finish up the cost of all of these projects. And if you can help with that, we just ask that you would do as the Lord leads. Thanks.
Praise the Lord. That was wonderful. And prayer is what it takes to accomplish the mission. I just praise God for all that has been accomplished through the last, you know, really 48 hours. It's amazing what's been going on. And I was here, I don't know, it was 10:30 or so last night, 11, and people were leaving the building. And I was thinking, man, it's amazing, just the effort. It's been good to spend time with each other. It's been good to spend time assembling the word. Obviously, people have been turning out. And, you know, a normal conference, we want to fill up the sanctuary for the preaching. But really, you guys, just take a rest, right? Take a break. We're here to encourage you as you continue in the labor. This is a working conference. And so, man, I pray that you're encouraged in the Lord with what you see here, what we're going to see in the next couple days. And so praise God. And I think we did all the introductions last night on all the pastors. But I know tonight we've added a pastor. We got Pastor Mike Blake from Maple City Baptist and Bo Green. Yeah, praise the Lord. And joining him is Pastor Bo Green and Pastor Todd from Monmouth as well. So, guys, we're glad that you're here. And, man, thanks for coming down, being with us. Now, if you are a guest pastor, maybe I didn't catch you. I think I've got everybody in the room, but we also have a gift for those that are coming in. Make sure you grab one at the connections counter for the visiting pastors, and we're glad that you're with us, guys. Man, Mike, I'm really glad that you were taking time out. Be praying for Josie. She's getting treatments, and this is a tough, really, several weeks that she's going to be going through. So it's a sacrifice for them to be here, and I'm so glad that you guys came down. I pray it'll be a blessing to you this week. And I know it's a blessing for us already. So thanks for encouraging us. And I'm going to introduce, man, Tony Godfrey. Man, you brought up a crew yesterday. I think I'm not exaggerating. I think there was 30 plus people from Iola that made the trip up yesterday afternoon to invest in the Word of God and assembling and help, you know, push some of this through. And man, that was a huge encouragement. And so, man, thank you. Thank you for loving God and loving people and loving the Word of God, you know. And so we were talking about that yesterday, how important it is yesterday morning to actually execute, right? Just because we have the mission given to us and granted us doesn't mean we'll fulfill it. There are Levites, as I was trying to explain from Ezekiel 44, there are Levites, right? And then there are Levites that are the sons of Zadok who actually stayed faithful through the end. And God used those that were faithful. And there's blessings of those that hang in there and do what they're supposed to do and run out the race and finish the course. So, man, I'm so encouraged. And right now, Pastor Tony Godfrey, he's got a building project going on. He's got a lot happening in Iola, and he's taking out time in his life to be here with us. And I really appreciate it. It's a sacrifice for him to be here and be a part of this, and I really appreciate his investment. Now, so, Tony, come on up. Preach to us tonight, brother. We're looking forward to hearing what God has for you. Give him a good HBF welcome tonight.
I think they were talking about 10 years this has been going on. Is that right? And I was sitting there trying to do the math, and I think I've counted at least 6 years that Iola's been a part of this in some form or fashion. And we were able to bring about 30 people, little ones to older ones. we had a good time, and one of our littlest ones, we just ordained a man, Mason Wilson. And so thank you for allowing Brian and Pastor Steve to come down and be a part of that in the ordaining. But his little girl was up here and just going through. She's about three or four. And then we stopped and asked her what she was doing. She was collating. And she goes, "We're making Bibles for people that don't have them." And it was just so matter. Well, she's a matter-of-fact kind of girl. But it was just so sweet to hear that she got it. This wasn't just some cool project the church is doing. She knew what she was doing. She in her mind, was putting together the Word of God for somebody who did not have one. And that really, it kind of lit a fire underneath some of us. And it fired me up. It was just good to hear. And so I'm going to ask if you'll turn your Bibles to Romans, to the book of Romans. We're going to do kind of a survey of the book of Romans tonight. That's kind of I'll just be honest, I'm preaching through the book of Romans right now. And so it's fresh in my heart, it's fresh in my mind. But I've looked at some of this stuff in a completely different way, a way that I've never seen it before, never even considered it before. And so here's the question that I have for you this evening is, do you have the vision to send the Word of God first? Do you have the vision to send the Word first? That's kind of the running question I want you to have kind of in the back of your mind tonight is, do I have the vision? You're like, well, yeah, duh, I'm here. Well, that doesn't mean everything, does it? Just because you're here, and just because you're putting in, some work, and you're getting dry hands because you're handling paper, doesn't mean that you really have a vision to get the Word out there first. And so that's the question that I just want to pose out there, and I want to use the book of Romans as an example, kind of as an illustration to maybe put some things, put some handles on some things, and I'm just stressing that God will get a hold of our hearts. Y'all ready? You ready to dive in the Word? I'm a little bit excited. All right. So let's pray. Lord, we need you. Yeah, we need to hear from you. We don't need to hear from me. We need to hear your word. Lord, it's amazing. We get to preach the word of God as we assemble the word of God, as we send out on the word of God to those who do not have it, to those who do not have it in their homes or in their possession. Lord, that we have the opportunity to put the word of God into their hands. Lord, as Randy talked about last night, Father, it's just a bunch of words on pages to so many people. But Lord, it is your word in written form. It is the hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. It is a sword that discerns between the thoughts and intents of the heart. Lord, it's like honey to our lips. Lord, it's like water to our soul. Lord, it's your word. And Lord, it's so deep and so rich and yet so accessible. It's so powerful. Lord, I pray as we go through this message, Lord, as we consider the book of Romans, Lord, as we consider your word, Lord, I pray at the end, Lord, we'll have a deeper understanding just how amazing this book is that we have in our hands. And how amazing it is that we even have access to it. We give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. It's in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. So you're in Romans chapter 1. I'd like you to look in Romans chapter 1, verse 13. In verse 13 he says, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles." Now, what you'll find is, as you study the book of Romans, as you look in chapter 1 and verse 13, as you look in Romans chapter 15, verses 22 and 23, it says this, "For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you, but now having no more place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come unto you." What do you find? Paul wanted to get to Rome numerous times, but he wasn't able to get there. He said, okay, I want to get to Rome. I want to get fruit. Listen, Rome is a key city. I'm a key dude. I'd like to get some fruit there. That's Paul's mentality. Key city. I'm a key guy. I want to get to Rome. And everywhere he tries to get to Rome, he can't get there. And so he writes them a letter. He says, hey, I don't want you to be a misunderstanding. I don't want you to think that I'm just not trying to come and visit you. No, I'm absolutely trying to come to you. I just can't get there. I'm hindered from there. Ministry is happening. Satan is hindering me from getting there. I just can't get there. So he wants to get there, but he can't. And so what I want to do through the rest of our time is kind of just give us a running timeline from then until today. Can we do that? Just from then until today, just do you have the vision to send the word first? Because that's what we find here as you read verses 1, chapter 1, verse 13, chapter 15, verses 22 and 23. I can't go, but I can send the word first. He sent the book of Romans, didn't he? He says, I can't go, but I'm going to send a letter. I can't be there, but I'm going to send the written word. And so so what you find as you begin to study scriptures, you compare scripture with scripture, you find that Paul makes plans. It's not wrong to plan, is it? Hang out with Brian. He plans. A lot. And then you find out that he plans to plan. And then he never checks his planner. What's the dealio with that, man? No, I love you. I'm just picking on you. It's that's why it's funny. Listen, Paul makes plans to go to Rome. And I love his heart. He has a desire to be there. But just because he has a desire to be there doesn't mean that it's time for him to be there. But he does understand something. It is time for the Word of God to be there. Right? And so we got to have this vision to send the Word of God first. And so he makes his plans, but he makes his plan to go. And so here I want you to see in Acts chapter 19, verse 21. He says, after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he says, okay, I got to go see Rome, but I have to go through Jerusalem first. I got some business to attend to in Jerusalem first. And so he's making plans way back in Acts chapter 19 to get to Rome, but he just can't quite get there yet. And so you get to Acts chapter 20, just a few verses down the way. Acts chapter 20, verses 1 to 3. And after, can you read that? I hope so. I tried to make it as large as I could. Acts chapter 20, verses 1 to 3. And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. So he's called these Ephesian elders together and he says, hey, this is the last time we're going to see each other. Things aren't going to go well. And let's hug it out. Let's pray together on the seashore. And he's getting ready to jump on the boat. And this is the last time they're going to see Paul. But he says something here. And Paul called unto the disciples, embraced them, and departed to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece and there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. So he slides into Macedonia, slides down into Greece, hangs out there for about 3 months, and says, okay, I've got to make my way to Jerusalem. I was a little ahead of myself in my explanation, but check this out. So he realizes when he's on his way to Jerusalem, things may not go well when I get there. Now, Acts chapter 19, verse 21, he says, I must also see Rome. But you get a few months, just a few months down the road, things change. You see, in Greece, they're ready to kill him. And so he has to hightail it the opposite direction to make his way to Asia and then finally down into Jerusalem. You get to Acts chapter 20, verses 22 and 23. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Now there's been a whole lot of debate. Was Paul being obedient to the Spirit of God? Was he in the flesh? Here's what we do know. He's supposed to go to Jerusalem. How do we know that? Because he made it there. I think you just compare scripture. He wanted to get to Rome, but he couldn't get there. Now, he finally gets there, but it wasn't the way he was intending to get there, right? So he makes it to Jerusalem, and I think if you cross-reference some things, which we'll do here in a second, I think you learn the purpose of why he has to go there. But he says, the bonds and afflictions abide me. He's willing to go somewhere where he knows he's going to go through it. Wow, that ministers to me for sure. Now, let's cross-reference that with Romans chapter 15, verses 25 and 26. Because Romans chapter 15, verses 25 and 6, he says, but now I go unto Jerusalem. So what's the setting? He's on his way to Jerusalem. He knows, okay, things aren't going to go well for me in Jerusalem, so I better send a letter. So, but now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. Why is he going to Jerusalem? Because there are saints there that need ministered to. For it had pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints, which are at Jerusalem. Why is he so bent to get to Jerusalem? There are saints that need physical support. That's why. There are saints that need physical support. And we can talk about all the different ways that we support missionaries, you know, prayer support and physical support and presence support. That's kind of how we break it down at our church. Those are the three ways we support missionaries. We pray for you. We go visit you. That's our presence. And then we physically support you financially or whatever it is. Those are our three P's. That's how we break it down. And it works. And our people grab a hold of that. Well, here's an example of this mission trip. He's going there to physically support them in Jerusalem. We'll read a little bit further in Romans chapter 15, in verse 30 and 31. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." Why? "That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea." He knows he's getting ready to go to Jerusalem. He knows there's going to be people that do not want to hear what he has to say. They do not want to hear the gospel. He knows there are people there who do not believe the things that he's getting ready to stand for and proclaim. He says, "And that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints." So you understand the timeline where the book of Romans fits in the scheme of it, right? He says, "I want to get to Rome, but I can't get to Rome until I get to Jerusalem." And he's figuring it out a few months later. He goes, "Wait a second, I may not make it out of Jerusalem. So I better send Rome a letter. I better send him something because I may not ever make it there." He desires to go there, but he can't physically get there. And so he sends them a letter. Let me put it this way. I'll send the word where I can't go. I'll send the word where I can't go. That is why we have the book of Romans today. Because it was a man who had a heart and a burning passion for the people of Rome, and he wanted to get there, and he wanted to have fruit there. But it was more necessary that the word go first. That's why we have the book of Romans. So if you're in Romans, look at Romans chapter 1, verse 7. It says, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." He doesn't write to just a church. He writes to all the believers in Rome. And I think if you do some cross-referencing, you check some things out in chapter 16, I think you can pretty much find out there's at least five house churches meeting in Rome. And so he sends a letter, and they're all supposed to be sharing this letter. They're all supposed to have access to this. It's supposed to go from house to house to house. The word of God isn't supposed to go to one destination and stay there. It's supposed to be taken from this place to that place. That's the whole purpose for the book of Romans. It's not intended just to one audience. He doesn't say to the church of Rome. He says to all that are in Rome, which I think has a great doctrinal implication, because where do we live today? We live under Roman authority, do we not? And I think it's a great book that applies to all that be in Rome. No doubt about it. But can I just submit to this? I would say this is not just a letter. It is the Word of God. It is not just a letter. It is everything that Paul wanted to tell them if he could have gone there. Does that make sense? It's everything Paul would have told them if he would have come up on shore, if he would have walked into town, if he would have gathered all the believers together and had a sit-down conference. He gives them everything in one long letter. And it's a long one, and it's a doozy, isn't it? I mean, if you get a letter, have you ever gotten a letter from a lawyer? Isn't that just fun? You know, it comes certified. Sometimes it comes with a nice guy dressed in a uniform, says, "You've been served." You open it up and it is just lawyerese and you can't speak it. You don't understand what it's saying. Man, you open the book of Romans, it's like, what is happening here? And you read it and you go, "Oh, wow. He's able to say a lot in a little." And everywhere you turn in the book of Romans, it's short little sentences and long run-on sentences, but he says a lot of stuff in a little bit of space. That's masterfully written, but it's not just a letter. It's everything he wanted them to know because he knew he may not ever get there. In other words, there's no time to waste. Amen? There's no time to waste. You got to get the written word there on time. And so that's exactly what happens. That's why we have the book of Romans. It's not just a letter. It is the constitution to Christianity, isn't it? I stole that from Mike Blake. It is the constitution of Christianity. Listen, Romans reveals the essential doctrines of the church, doesn't it? Romans reveals the essential doctrines every church should know and live by. It reveals how we're saved. It's how we're secure in our salvation. It also reveals for us the sanctified life. It also, right in the middle of the book, gives us chapters 9, 10, 11, how God is able to redeem and restore the nation of Israel, which we are seeing in our own eyes today. It unpacks it for us. In Romans chapter 8, as it closes out, that nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then you get three chapters illustrating it. Nothing, look, Romans, if Israel could have done it, it would have separated them from the love of God, and yet it's not possible. And so he says in Romans chapter 11, all Israel shall be saved. And he culminates the letter, how amazing, how awesome his God is. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Man, I love this book. It's an amazing book. And this is the letter that Paul writes to a group of people that he wants to go see, realizes he may never see, so he gives them the goods, man. He says, here, I want to send the word of God first. So, man, as you read through the book of Romans, as you study it, it strikes at the heart of your self-righteousness, and it causes you to see and witness and reveal the righteousness of who God is. So let's just get very practical here. Let's just get super practical. Don't allow your inability to keep you from sending the published word where it needs to go. Just because you can't go doesn't mean you can't send the word. Amen? I would have thought there'd been a whole lot more amens. Just because you can't go doesn't mean that you can't send the word first. Amen. That is true. Listen, not all of us have been called to be foreign missionaries. Not all of us have been called where a bunch of people are locked up, that place. You haven't been called to go reach there, but man, you can help supply Bibles to get it there. You haven't been maybe called to Jamaica. You haven't been called to certain parts of the world, and yet you can help supply Bibles to get it there in your stead. Because God has already orchestrated, has already put people in place to take that written word and distribute it to those who need it. Give us a heart of little Ainsley Wilson. What are you doing? I'm making Bibles for people that don't have them. That is what we're doing here. And I think we do this every single year, and we lose sight of it, I think. We know the table's going to set up there. We know that's where the binder's going to be. We know this is where the cutting's going to be. We know that's where they're going to roll. We know that's going to check. Oh, that's where I set last time, and it's just routine. No, it's not routine. It's a different Bible for a different person. Amen. For a different part of the world. Right. And they're going to read the book of Romans. So don't allow your inability to go to keep you from sending the word where it needs to go. Here's something else. Never underestimate the generational impact of sending the written word first. You understand that we are reading from the book of Romans that was originally written in Greek and has been translated, and we have it in English. In our preserved word of God, and it's endured through the ages, and it's guaranteed to endure until the end of the world, that we are reading from this book that Paul wrote so many years ago because he had a burden for another group of people in another city. How many people in this room have been affected by this amazing book? Why? Because somebody did the work to get you a copy. Now, some of them did it because they wanted your money. And yet, God will use their greed to get you a copy of the Word of God. Some of them are just like us. Podunk, Missouri. Putting Bibles together. Get the word of God to people who don't have access to it so that somebody else can walk the Romans road. Millions have traveled the Roman's road to get to the end and kneel at a cross and call on the name of a risen Savior. And I am one of them. What we do here enables that for somebody else. How many will do the same with the Bibles that we do here? I don't know. I can't. I'm sure some of these, honestly, are going to get thrown in the backseat of a car, right? They're gonna get, oh, thanks, I got it, and it's going to hold up a table. Some of them are going to be written on the tables of men's hearts. And we don't get to see the fruit of this until the judgment seat of Christ. And I think that's why we get lazy in it. I think that's why we get worn out in it. I think that's why we get weary in our well-doing, is because we don't see the end. We just focus on right here, right now. What am I missing out on now? Well, what are they missing out on if you don't do it? So here's the second question I want us to pose tonight is, have you really made yourself available to send the word first? I mean, do you have the vision to do it? For sure. And you can say, yeah, I've got vision all day long. Well, okay, well then put the feet to the vision. Have you made yourself available to do it? And I know I'm talking to the choir because you're here. But are you really available? I mean, you're here, but are you putting your hands to the work? Or are you just surrounded by those who are doing the work? Have you really made yourself available to it? Because do you realize how many hands had to touch this book for us to have it? It wasn't like Paul just went over in the corner, flipped on his light, LED light, and writes this thing down and then sends it FedEx. It doesn't work like that. In fact, it did not work like that. Here's how it did work. There are multiple hands that gave us this book. And we know their names. We know what their names are. We don't have the book of Romans, this book that we're studying tonight, without a group of men and women. Men and women who made themselves available to hold forth the word of life. They held forth the word of life. And if they don't do it, we don't have access to it. And so I just want to, the rest of this is practical. I know it's been like a whole lot of teaching. I call it treaching, is what I call it. Can I just submit to you to be a Paul? Be a Paul. In Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated into the gospel of God. What did he do? He provided the word of God in the language of the people who needed it. That's what he did. You understand, Paul didn't just speak Hebrew, he spoke Greek. He was bilingual. I'm sure he knew others as well. He was a very educated man. And yet when he wrote the book of Romans, he didn't send it in Hebrew, did he? He sent it in the language of those who are going to receive it. He sent it in the language of those who needed it. You know what we need? We need translators. We need people who are going to be like Paul. I think of Matt Woods in Papua New Guinea. I think of others who are translating the Word of God into the thousands of languages who still do not have even a verse of Scripture translated into their language. We need men and women of God to be a Paul, who are going to take the word of God and present it in the language of the people who need it. Be a Paul. Be that. So maybe that's how you're gifted. When I first met Matt Woods, I never would have dreamt. Matt, I love you. But I never would have dreamt you'd be in Papua New Guinea translating the word of God. But it's a testimony. It's a testimony of discipleship. A guy who got a vision and made himself available. And it ministers to me. Maybe God's calling you out to be a Paul. So be a Paul. Without a Paul, there is no Romans. Truth? How about this? Be a Gaius. Gaius? Who's that? Well, that's the name of my goiter. No! Be a Gaius. What does he say in Romans chapter 16 in verse 23? Gaius, mine host. In other words, the book of Romans was written in Gaius's house. Gaius is just making a bed for Paul. Having a place for Paul to rest his head. Remember, he's been kicking it in Greece and Macedonia for 3 months. He's got to have there is no comfort in, right? Gaius says, hey, why don't you come stay at my house? And so what does Gaius do? Well, he provides the house where the word of God is printed. Well, guess what? We're assembling Bibles because there was a house that printed the word. That word's been printed and it was shipped here. Praise the Lord. Be a Gaius. Provide the house where the word of God is printed. Maybe you need to support the printing of the word of God. He says, Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church saluteth you. Don't just be a Paul. Don't just be a Gaius. Maybe your role is to be this. Maybe your role is to be a Tertius. Well, who in the world is Tertius? I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle? Well, doggone it, I thought Paul wrote it. No, Tertius wrote it. No, Paul wrote it. No, they both did. Paul would speak it and Tertius would write it. It would be dictated. And so as Paul proclaimed and as he wrote, Tertius is feverishly writing out the book of Romans in Gaius's house. I can just picture it. I can just see it. I can see Paul just pacing back and forth across the room. And as you read the book of Romans where he says, God forbid, I guarantee it wasn't God forbid. It had been God forbid. And Tertius is like, God forbid. And writing it all down and getting it down. That's Tertius. Be a Tertius. Well, what's Tertius? Well, he does the work of printing and assembling the word of God. Dear Mr. and Mrs. Collator. Dear Mr. and Mrs. Tertius. The roller, the checker, the binder. You are a Tertius. I praise God for you. Because if there is no Tertius, there is no Romans. Be a Tertius. Don't just be a Tertius. How about we be the local church? Romans chapter 16, verse 16. Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. The churches, the plural churches of Christ. Paul is writing them and saluting them. And it's not just the church in Macedonia, not just the church in Achaia, not just the church in Ephesus. No, all the churches are supporting the work, supporting what's going on. They're supporting this book of Romans. They support the work of Bible publication. That's what local churches do. So if I can remind you of Romans chapter 1, verse 7, I don't have that on the slide. You have to read it. Romans chapter 1, verse 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome. That means a letter made it to Rome. It got copied, and it got preached, and it got taught across that entire city. We know that towards the end of the ministry, there's a guy named the Apostle Peter who had access to the book of Romans. I think that's why he said, and some of which Paul's writings are things to be hard to be understood. They copied it and they preached it. I think that's interesting because that's where a lot of local churches have dropped the ball today. They're not supporting the work of Bible publication. Why? Because they have abandoned the preserved word of God and they refuse to preach the word of God. It's happening all over the world today. They don't believe in a preserved word of God, and they stop preaching the word of God. They start telling stories. It's a sad deal. What would have happened if that early church had done the same? You wouldn't have a Bible. You wouldn't have it. So Paul speaks it. Tertius writes it in Gaius's house, supported by the local church. But how does it get from here to Rome? How does it get there? A woman. Ladies, I love this. I am woman.
Hear me roar.
Romans 16, verses 1 and 2. Be a Phoebe. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. Here's this woman, Phoebe. She was willing to take the responsibility to distribute the word of God to the right people on time. Ladies, never think that you have no role or responsibility in carrying the word of God. It was a woman who delivered the mail. It was a woman who crossed the seas. It was a woman who put her life on the line. It was a woman that preserved the word of God and got it from where it was written to the people who needed it on time. Be a Phoebe. Be a Phoebe. We got boxes here full of Bibles. And it's great to look at them and see them stacked up. But they got to be delivered, don't they? They got to be delivered on time. They got to get to the people on time. And we need people like that. We need a Phoebe who's going to leave their home and go to where it needs to go. If you notice at the very end of Romans chapter 16, verse 27, there's a little postscript right after verse 27. It says, written to the Romans from Corinthus and sent by Phoebe, servant of the church at Cenchrea. Man, I love that. She's a servant of the church at Cenchrea, and then God put her in trust with his word. Man, I love it. I absolutely love it. So in closing, let me get practical here. Two practical points. First one is this. God can use you to get his word to his people on time. God can use you to get his word to his people on time. Did you get that? God can use you when you're collating and you're bored doing it. When you're rolling and your fingers are numb and you got a cramp in your ring finger because you're pushing too hard. And you're over there checking and all the numbers seem the same and you're getting it all messed up and you're over here lining things out and you're running the binder and you're getting a high on glue, right? And you come over here and the cutter and the blade gets dull and you got to keep sharpening it. Man, all this stuff, all the work that goes into it. Do you understand what's happening? God is using you. You are a tool in the hand of God to get his word to his people on time. That's who you are. Here's the last point. God can use you to get his word to his people on time if you are available. If you're available. You have to make yourself available. Now, I'm not just talking about collating and rolling and checking. I'm talking about taking it across the room and open the Word of God and open the book of Romans so that somebody else can walk the Romans road. God can use you to get his word to the right person on time if you make yourself available. Amen? I love you guys.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we heard a lot just now. succinctly spoken, words fitly spoken, because, Lord, you've carved them out. Lord, you used a sharp two-edged sword. You've used a chosen vessel, a man who's a workman, who needeth not to be ashamed. He has rightly divided the word and rightly applied the word. And, Lord, you have, before we woke up this morning, Lord, you had this in mind. You prepared our hearts to receive this message. And I pray, Heavenly Father, and I want to praise you, Heavenly Father, for giving us a word fitly spoken, a word in due season, Lord, because your people are laboring, and they need to know that your good hand is upon them and that what they're doing is not just putting paper together and collating and binding and cutting and boxing and sending and paying and all of those details, Lord. We need to know, and we can only know by believing what your word says, that you will use this effort for eternal glory. And so, Heavenly Father, by faith, we come tonight, and Lord, we are meditating upon the things you've just said to us. It's not just one church. It's not one Christian. It is the churches assembled, Lord, to assemble the word of God. Lord, you have called us together in a Philadelphian experiment, so to speak. Lord, you have given us the opportunity to choose to love you and to love people through assembling your word and sending it to where it needs to go. And Lord, you put a clock on it. And Father, it's bigger than any one church. It's bigger than any one person. And Heavenly Father, we know that it's of you. And so we come to you tonight. And Lord, this is the Amen choir. These are the people who have put their hand to the plow. These are the workmen, Lord, who need not to be ashamed, that are filling up these spots of Phoebe, of Gaius, Lord, of Paul, of Tychicus, Lord, of all the different people that are mentioned today, Lord, and there are even many others, Lord, of course, in the New Testament. And Lord, we know that they all are representing the work of the Spirit of God, Lord, as you entrust your people with the Word of God to accomplish your mission in the power of God. And we come to you tonight, Lord, and thank you for the message we've heard. Lord, I pray if there's a person under the sound of my voice that's not saved, that today they would take the Romans road. Lord, that they would open up the Bible. They would allow someone to come to them, and we would be willing to go first to them with the Word of God and open up the Word of God first and hear their testimony, hear the truth of the Word of God, what Jesus Christ, who he is, first of all, and then what he has done, so that we can be born again, so we can be saved, so we can understand that power of redemption and Lord, understand what it is to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. And what it is we're preparing for, the judgment seat of Christ, and the glory that will be revealed in us. So, Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight in an attitude of gratitude. We're so thankful for the word. We're thankful for these questions that have been asked. And, Lord, I pray, God, that we would each consider them individually. Lord, thus that are pastors, that we would consider those with our church. And, Heavenly Father, that you would stimulate our minds and our hearts to continue to be obedient to the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, tonight, not only for the written epistles, but there are many, many living epistles among us tonight. And Lord, there's men like Pastor Rajan who has shared his testimony just since he's been here. He just shared it with the mayor of our city just moments ago, how he literally read the Word of God and it saved him without a preacher. Lord, you preach to him from the Word of God, just like we talk about someone opening the Bible and getting saved. Oh, Heavenly Father, that's what we pray for these Bibles. We're not just praying that we put something together, Lord. We pray that it gets in the hands of people who need it, Lord. And we have to trust you, Lord, that you will put the things in place to get these where they need to go. And Lord, may we magnify your word. May we glorify your name. May we be serious about walking by faith and really trusting you to get these things where they need to go. Lord, may we be praying over these, and I know these folks are. May we be like kings and priests, Lord, doing the work that we're supposed to be doing. Lord, writing the word, keeping the word, doing the word of God. Oh, Heavenly Father, may we live up to what you've written of us today. May we be these that are serious, Lord, that understand the gravity and the responsibility of stewarding the Word of God. And we'll thank you and praise you, Lord, in eternity when we see the work that is being done here. Lord, we thank you for it, and we praise you, and we walk by faith today, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, man. What a message. That was incredible. That was a word of God, man. That was awesome. And Randy's last night, by the way, I told Randy, I was prepping, I was like, hey, Randy, I made a mistake last night in the planning. I should have said something. I didn't want to, like, I thought, man, no, Randy's got this. I'm going to sit back, you know. And after he was done, I was fired up. I was like, I need to get up and say something, but I didn't. So, and Randy's message was awesome. Tonight was awesome. God is really speaking to our, to not just our church. He's speaking to the churches. Because this work of assembling the Word of God and getting it where it needs to go is so much larger than any one church, as we've heard tonight. And, man, Tony, thank you, bro. That was a download from heaven. That was sweet, man. Praise God. I am fired up about that message. Where's Randy at? Wasn't that good? That was awesome. I just got to check in with Randy, you know. So, my co-pilot. You think we can fly the plane with that, Randy? I think so. So, no, it was just good because these are things that we know, but, man, just so succinctly put out from the Word. And I pray that we can answer these questions. And tonight I pray that you're encouraged in the Lord. I'm not going to have an altar call of sorts, but I can't help myself. You know, it's possible you've been in church and you've missed all this. I was just talking to Brock today, and he was just sharing his testimony. This kid, he was in church. He was going on missions trips. He was probably, if he would have had access, I don't even know if he's in the house right now, but if he would have had access, there he is, you probably would have put Bibles together, you know, but you were lost as a goose. And man, I tell you what, if you're lost, you need to be saved. If you're having a religion, then you've got the wrong thing. You need a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But even for those of us that are saved, what happens sometimes is we do get lethargic and we feel like, well, it's kind of mundane. You know, I'm just doing my thing here. I'm just writing down what the Apostle Paul's saying. You know, I'm just carrying this letter somewhere. I'm just taking this book from here to there. I'm just running this binder. I'm just running this cutter. I'm just boxing this up. I'm just sending this here. But beloved, I'm telling you, God is doing a mighty work that's bigger than any of us can fully grasp right now, because he's getting his word where it needs to go and landing it in the hearts of people. And of course, it's the written word. But also, beloved, the thing about the church is that we are not just doing this to send to some bookstore so we can run a cash register somewhere so we can make some cash. As a matter of fact, it's costing us to do this. This is a loss type of ministry. We're not gonna make a financial profit on any of this. We're going to spend. We're going to be spent. And it's going to hurt financially. It hurts us physically. You guys are losing work. Terry takes work off. His son, Garrett, takes work off. These people, y'all are taking time off work to do this. This is a sacrifice. And praise the Lord for that, because it will pay off, but you won't see it. You may not see who gets saved. You may not see it, but you will see it in glory. I guarantee, I'm just so convinced of this. You will see it. The eternal weight will be in glory. And then all this will be like, man, I can't believe I was worried about losing money at work. I can't believe I was worried about sweating my bills, man. I can't believe that, because this was so profitable. But why is it so profitable? Because everything Tony just said is happening. We're not just assembling Bibles. We're not just trying to keep people busy so we can pat ourselves on the back. Joe Hendricksman needs the Word of God. His shipment was hijacked, if you remember. Last year, he's talking about, man, I need those Bibles. I need those Bibles. He gets his Bibles. It's literally hijacked by whoever. Cartels, I don't know, the devil. So somebody took his Bibles. So what? Well, we're going to make some more Bibles. And we pray for the ones that got hijacked, that God uses those mightily to win people to Christ. Right? And that, I'm not embellishing. They got hijacked. That's right. Okay. I just want to make sure. Again, checking with Randy. I got a lot of facts floating. I do a lot of planning, and I got a lot of facts. So I got to make sure they're all right. I mean, our own community, Jackson County Jail, some of our relatives are going to receive these Bibles. Cass County Jail. We're making English ones. Not just to kind of, well, maybe someday we'll give them out. Maybe we'll put them under the pew and people will grab them on the way out. I mean, these are going to people that need to hear the Word of God. So we're sending ambassadors. These guys that are getting the word where it needs to go are ambassadors. These are people we know believe in the Word of God. They're not gonna water it down with some critical text mumbo jumbo. They're gonna give the unadulterated, rightly divided, fitly spoken Word of God. Get it where it needs to go. It's all part of it. And so, man, I'm just excited about what God's doing. I hope you are too. I know you get weary and well doing, but man, let's remember that we don't need to faint, because in a due season, it's going to come, and it's going to be a beautiful thing. what God is doing. Don't get discouraged, too, when you kind of see the sanctuary empty at 6:30. But because just know this, God is bringing people in and bringing people up. But, man, you guys are getting the cream tonight. You are here, and you're hearing. And that's the blessing, man. God's going to bring these speakers in to fill up the cup. See, because you're pouring yourselves out. It's like a drink offering. You've poured yourself out, and then God sets you down here, and he fills up your cup. And I will tell you this, if you're just coming for the preaching, well, man, shame on you. This is a working conference. This isn't a vision conference. This isn't a missions conference. This isn't Sunday morning. This is to fill the cup up. And so, man, get involved in the work of God that's going on around this place. Because that's why we're here, as Tony. You know, it's so awesome. Listen to Tony. You know why he can explain the details of every process? Because this is a guy who's doing it. And long before he got up here to preach, he's been doing it for 6 years. And he gets after it. He comes up here year after. You don't see him up here preaching every year. He's here to just do the Bibles. Why? Because his heart is about getting the word where it needs to go on time. I'm just fired up about that, too. And, brother, your integrity speaks for itself. And that's why God's blessing you. That's why God gave you a message to download. And it is a shame. Anyone that misses this message tonight, man, I am sorry. But God spoke. And we all need to hear it. So all the congregation say amen. Amen. So be it. You know, in the Old Testament, when you said amen, it meant something. And guess what? It does in the New Testament, too. So let's take heed to what we said amen to the Word of God. Let's be one of those people. Let's be, I'm on the wrong side of my sheet. Let's be Paul. Let's be Gaius. Let's be Tertius. I said Tychicus earlier. That was the wrong name, wrong fact there. Phoebe, right? Man, what a good point. Let's be those people tonight. And be who God, you know, I love when we do discipleship. A lot of times I say to folks and when I preach, man, be who God saved you to be so you can do what God saved you to do. And man, that's what God's telling us tonight. Just be who God saved you to be. If God's called you to be a Macedonian church, be a Macedonian church and then watch what God's going to do. And, you know, that part of that whole drama that Tony's talking about, that he's talking about the timing and the letter. You know what God was doing in that? He was using small churches like ours, in working class neighborhoods like ours, to do something really big that is now ours. It's been delivered to us because God believes. He's saying, guys, I can trust you with it. And that's a heavy thing. So, man, praise the Lord. I'm going to turn it over to Randy. Randy is going to come up and give us some more instructions so we can get back to work. I've said too much. So thank you for your time and thank you for being here.
Okay, yeah, there's a lot of the work that needs to be done. We're like I said earlier, we're only about halfway through the process. We got about 28 hours worth of work that we've got to get done between tonight, tomorrow, and Wednesday night to get the rest of the Bibles done. And there's a lot of work to be done. But I think everybody in here, if we just stuck around for the next 2 hours, we could knock out another good portion of what needs to be done. And so as we get ready to dismiss, there's some places that you can be. We can be out collating in the lobby. We can be rolling the two rooms over here for rolling and the room over here for checking. All of those rooms need to be done. But you know what? We need people in the binder room as well. Don't be afraid of those machines. They're actually a lot of fun in there. You get to hang out with a bunch of good people and talk and joke and laugh and... I wasn't even going there. You can have a lot of fun, I'll tell you that. But we do need quite a few people in there. Over by the trimmer, just boxing and getting things ready to go and stuff like that. There's a couple of things that I do before we go. I'm going to ask Terry Ogle to come up here. I want him to pray over there, you know, pray his dismisses. But before we do, I just want to one more thing about the word going out about these Bible conferences and about, you know, we're preparing these Bibles to go out and they're going to be going to somebody and we're going to ship them out. And you're not going to know. Let me tell you what, there's been a lot of people that come through the doors of this church in the last 2 days that don't go to this church, that maybe don't even go to a church, and they left being introduced to God and his word. And that's an incredible thing for the community. We had the Christian school here We've had families come just randomly because people in our church had said, hey, we're making Bibles. You ought to come. And they did. And, you know, we had a chance to get to know people and talk to people and encourage them and share our faith with them. And they're in our house. Why would we not want to do that? And so, you know, we sent the Christian school home with they all got New Testaments, and it just blew the teacher's mind that we would give them a Bible or give them a New Testament. And I mean, why wouldn't we do that? So we have all of these opportunities. If you want to get to know people, this is the place to do it, and this is a place to share the Word of God. And so just think about that as well. Even over the next 2 days, you know, we may have people here that just they don't have a concept of God's Word in the same way that you do. And you can give them that before they leave, and that's powerful, and that's a wonderful thing. And so as we get ready to dismiss, Terry, come on up. I just want to say something about Terry, really the whole crew. We've got a lot of people that are part of the Bible team. But, you know, Terry's, well, I don't know how to be careful how to say this. Terry's mind he's constantly thinking about everything. And I just really appreciate Terry, and I don't know. I want to just make that public to everybody. I really appreciate what Terry has done and the load that Terry carries. You know, I had the vision to want to put this ministry in a way like this and do something year round. And I think I freaked him out when I told him we wanted to do 100,000 Bibles a year and that kind of stuff. But you know what? I lean hard on Terry to get these things done, and Vince and other men. And I really appreciate Terry and the work that he has done for many years. And I just thank him a lot. And so, Terry, I want you to close us up in prayer and send us to work.
Let's just give God the glory. Amen. Now, I'm going to give you an example about the equipment. Pastor Roger, would you come up for a minute? Now, on Saturday, we were recreating your building. You have noticed it changed since Sunday, right? He's sitting in the lobby, and I'm like, and pretty soon you're moving tables, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
I didn't ask. He was there, and I put him to work, okay? Was it yesterday or today? He's in here. I'm like, then what'd you do?
Yes, yes, yes. I did that things, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think he ran half these New Testaments through in about an hour, so... I didn't tell you, but I sped the machine up when you came over. So, stay up here with me. Stay up here. I want to tell you something. You all know me, and you know I love God. Amen? And if God can use me, and I don't mean any disrespect, if God can use a Nepali, you don't have an excuse. Amen? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for the spirit we have here and the camaraderie we have and the love that we feel one to another. It doesn't matter where we live, it's your spirit. Lord, thank you for the kindness and the words, and we give you all the praise and the glory. Give us your strength, give us your ability to do what you would call us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, brother.
Is it on? Wash your hands. That's a-